books, and then another figure about politics. So the same rhythm exists in this canto as existed in Inferno 10, where Dante met the heretics. But more than that, unless we just see that as a general pattern that Dante is asking us to notice, there's some very specific things. Just as an example, the first of these people that Dante talks to is a guy named Umberto Aldobrandesco. Okay, a name you may not want to jot down real quickly. But Umberto's very interesting because he was from the territory of Siena. And Siena was a Ghibelline city. But he was in opposition to his own government, and so he became an ally with the Guelphs around Siena that were the enemies of Siena. In other words, he did exactly what Farinata did, but he went the other way. After all, Farinata was a Ghibelline in a Guelph place, and Umberto was a Guelph in a Ghibelline place. So that they do essentially the same thing. And the other political figure, okay, we go politics, poetry, politics. The other political figure who's here among the prideful is a guy named Provenzano Salvani. He was, along with Farinata, the victorious general at the Battle of Monteperti. That is to say, Farinata supplied the Florentine troops, and Provenzano Salvani commanded the Sienese troops. So that we have some very exact matches here in the world of politics.
It's also interesting to sort of take a look at this from the point of view of Florence versus Siena. I think that for Dante to put all of these Sienese here among the saved, okay, and suggest that they're in the process of getting rid of the sin of pride is a way of the poet himself accepting a certain kind of humility. Sienese and Florentine don't get along together all that well, even today. My favorite example of this, we were in Italy one summer doing seminars. Bill was doing a Francis of Assisi seminar. I was doing a Dante seminar, a group of secondary school teachers. I'm teaching the whole poem in Italy. Bill took me out to meet an old friend of his, and in my broken Italian, we were sort of conversing, and he's saying, "What are you doing?" And I'm saying, "Dante." And he said, "You know, I think Dante's overrated." The heart, you know, "I'm coming, Elizabeth." I didn't know how to respond to this, but he started to give me a whole list of reasons. He was saying, "You know, for one thing, I don't think Dante speaks to our time quite as much as other poets." Instead of going on things, and was not computing. Finally, at the end of this list of five things, and he says, "And besides, he is a Florentine." And then it was all absolutely clear to me. Well, Dante, in a sense, had to do the same thing in reverse by dealing with these Sienese people. What he's doing is a kind of act of poetic humility in himself, and I think that it's something not to be dismissed.
The middle figure, that is say, between these two political figures that Dante meets, is again a manuscript illuminator named Odorici da Gubbio. And one of the first things he tells us is, "When I was back on Earth, I really thought I was hot stuff. I really thought my stuff was the best." However, now he tells us there really is another illuminator who's better than he. So that we see that sort of pride in artistic achievement sandwiched between that sort of political pride. And therefore, the question we have to ask is, what's the difference between this gang here and that gang back among the heretics in Inferno? And the way that Dante most dramatizes it is, first of all, having this artist, Odorici, say, "Now I know that others are better artists than I." And then Odorici tells a story, it would be prideful to tell it yourself, I suppose, of this political figure named Provenzano Salvani, this great victor at the Battle of Monteperti, who, during a time when one of his friends was in fact imprisoned, this guy, again, big general, begged in the square of Siena for money to provide his ransom. So the difference is not whether they were prideful. As we've said for all the way through, the difference is whether they repented.
This, of course, is a particularly difficult kind of repentance. I mean, he's there in the most public part of Siena, basically, you know, simply begging alms as people go by. Again, an act of humility that Dante sees as obviously significant. It's also very interesting here when Dante talks about the pride of artists. He says, "Well, you know, here you've got to make some interesting distinctions because it doesn't last quite as long as they tend to think it does." And he first of all goes to painting,